for joining us. We do these once a month, and hopefully they're worthwhile and interesting.
Beautiful, and welcome to all of you. This is the MediaBids Power Hour. This is Ernest. You're listening to Jed, the CEO and founder of MediaBids. It's always a joy, Jed, working together. Thank you so much for being here and for all the wonderful work with your team behind the scenes.
Great. Well, thank you. And, you know, it's hard to believe it's been another month. Seems to go by quickly. You know, MediaBids is pleased to help make these possible. You know, Ernest is really the brings the majority of the knowledge to these calls, and we really appreciate his participation. They certainly would not happen or be as informative without him. You know, just a quick 10 seconds on MediaBids. We are a marketplace for publications to sell advertising. We have thousands of advertisers that use our service to buy ads in publications around the country, newspapers and magazines. And so if you need to learn more or want to learn how to use it or have any questions, feel free to give us a call or follow up by email. We're always happy to explain how it works.
Absolutely, and as you listen to Jed talk about MediaBids, take the opportunity, go surf their site. They have done an extraordinary job helping publications bring additional revenue in, helping bring advertisers absolutely guaranteed success. It's worked wonderfully as well from the advertiser perspective. Everything's trackable, measurable, definable, and financially reportable. It's really fantastic. They do a great job. And having interacted over the years with Jed and with Vicky and with June and with John and all the other team members behind the scenes, they're just a fantastic group. They really do a great job, and they work wonderfully with our clients. This is the MediaBids Power Hour. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. We've been hosting thought leadership programs like this since 1995. This is our 16th year. Jed and I are working together, number 49. Number 49 over all of these years. We get together, Jed, typically about 9 or 10 times a year. We probably skip over in December. Maybe we're traveling over the holiday during the summertime, and maybe we miss one or two. But other than that, we have a real predictable schedule. And as you know, that you know, we're always inspired, you know, by those who come with their questions, pose questions, and that's really where our topics come from. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Absolutely. So my company, for all of you, as we're getting settled in, my company is Power Hour. We work with publishing companies, more than 800 companies in 8 time zones around the world of all genres and shapes and sizes. We have a deep, deep passion, been around the publishing space since the mid-80s. We provide executive-level coaching and training, sales coaching, obviously, on the other side of that. We have a recruiting division. We have an investment banking group. We help our clients buy and sell publications. We're working with a couple in Nevada and California here in this last week. We have a search engine team of 10 that help our clients not only optimize their site but also drive revenue, and we're very proud of that. And we provide expert LinkedIn training. Jed, I didn't know this, but I got an email from the CEO of LinkedIn this past week. They just crossed the 100 million mark. I didn't realize this, but back in 2003, I was member number 512.
Really?
Okay. Now, I don't know how and why. What was I doing in 2003? So I thought LinkedIn was a concept. I wasn't job searching, which is what it was. I don't know how I found it. I don't know how I got rolling. But, anyhow, we've had a lot of fun with that, and we have wonderful groups related to LinkedIn and a whole lot of connections related to that. So, hey, as we're working today, this is about publication thought leadership. Again, the word of encouragement, please find a way to not multitask, block out any background noise. Look also throughout the course of the program. We have a whole bunch. I think we have 12 pages of questions already. We'll work and weave those in. But if you have questions over the course of the program, just hit reply to the confirmation or reminder that got you here, or just send an email to Ernest@powerhour.com. We'll field them, we'll work them in, and then at the top of the hour, we'll pause and we'll informally open up the line and field your questions as well. So here we go. Publication thought leadership. Okay? What is it and why does it matter? Right? Let's go down this path. And Jed, probably just to step back for just a moment, in these economic times, publishers and publications of all kinds are doing what? Trying to survive, trying to thrive. Right? Trying to set themselves apart from the rest.
Sure.
Right? Just a, you know, big picture, reoccurring theme, right? You're hearing it, I'm hearing it, we're hearing it, that in general, publications want to be a strong and solid entity, right?
Right, absolutely. more important now than ever, right?
Absolutely, okay? And unless we position ourselves as thought leaders, we are going to be in the space and place business. Hey, I made that up 4 minutes ago.
Great, Mark. Turn to story edges, 2011.
Do we need to print 4.2 bumper stickers? Is that what you're suggesting yet? Space and place, okay? Listen, we are not in the space and place, okay? Step back and think for just a second, okay? Think about a publication. Think about your publication, okay? It's just ink. It's just paper. Electronically, it's just X's and O's. What sets us apart? What's so compelling? Think about Vanity Fair. For those who enjoy reading it, I do. They have great stories. It's like dessert reading is what I think about. I think about the Wall Street Journal. When that comes in, that's more meaty, and I got to kind of put on my business hat. All right. I think about Life magazine in past times. I think about National Geographic. I'm a tennis player. Tennis magazine, when that comes in, dessert. I can't wait. I already know that there's going to be articles in there about Pete Sampras and Nadal and Federer and whoever it might be. You just get comfortable with that. I'm a skier. Outside magazine. Jed, I don't know if you read Outside magazine, but about travel and adventure, just a wonderful publication.
Yep.
I think about Cruising World over all the years. Here I am, you know, living in a ski resort. What am I doing, you know, looking at beautiful pictures of the Caribbean, you know, and sailing around the world? Well, guess what? It's dessert reading, you know, and I enjoy that. But the point is, think about each of the things that all of you read. Think about those publications that create a brand in your mind. They're doing something to create that brand, to grow that brand, and make it significant enough that you want to read it and you want to carve out the time. And when I made the list of some of the ones that to me were near and dear, what I call my dessert reading, that list wasn't 20 deep or 50 deep or 100 deep. So when you think about your publication, a brand is so much more. And that brand is something, just like a rose garden, you've got to go out, you've got to plant beautiful seed, you've got to go out and water and fertilize and sunlight and give it some love. Same thing with your publication. And thought leadership is the way to get there. So it also means that we have to play big. We have to play so much bigger than space and place. Because if we focus on space and place, we're just a me too. We will never drive our rate card. We will never sell at the pace we want. We will never gain the renewals that we want. Okay? We'll never accomplish those things. So the important part to recognize is that we have to have a voice. And the topic today is thought leadership. Okay? And a publication has a massive opportunity. You are the most well-positioned product I have ever seen in the marketplace. Because you have an entity, which is an advertising vehicle all by itself, whether it's the print publication, whether it's your e-newsletter, whether it's a website or how you combine all of those things, I want every single one of you to know that are participating in today's program that you have the opportunity of a lifetime if you choose to leverage it and if you choose to have a voice. But you already are sitting at the world's most beautiful piano and all the keys are there. But I promise, and Jed and I promise you, that if you're not tapping the right keys, then you're just space and place. You're just a me too. And the essence of what we're talking about today are the specific strategies. Recognize that when you're a thought leader, you want to be the go-to resource. And the strategies today that we'll talk about will tie into that. You also want to rise above your competitors. Now, I have to tell all of you that in my earliest days of publications, my publication came out once a month, 12 times a year. I had a competitor come out every 2 weeks, 26 issues a year. I hated Wednesdays when their publication came out. And yet I loved it. And I loved it because I had a team member waiting to grab their publication, get actually three, because we took all the pages, we shredded, we tore out pages to identify prospects, we made note who went up, who went down, who added, who dropped, we built a hit list, we built an ad drop report within 4 hours. We needed multiple issues, though, because we also dispersed all the pages. We wanted to see who was going where. If you think about publications of any kind, it's like you get a report card every single time you come out. How did you do? How did you score? I still have a library bookshelf, some of my earliest publications from the mid-'80s. And I look at them proudly, Jed, like they're, you know, a collection of the Encyclopedia Britannicas, okay? Hey, they're all lined up, and I've got several copies. And then we went from saddle stitch to perfect bound, you know? I mean, I love that journey, you know? And the pride of that, okay? So if we want to rise above our competitors, that's one thing. Thought leadership and the strategies we're talking about will not only gain you more market share, more revenue, better renewals, but will go on to close out and put competitors out of your market segment. That's how big this is. And there's lots of strategies to this, and we're going to laser in and walk our way through this. But that's what we're playing for. For those who know me and who I provide coaching services for, you know for a fact, I never play for 10% increases. I never play for rate card increases. I never play for two renewals, today or tomorrow. I want to play for owning the entire space, drinking the entire ocean of readers and prospects that you're playing for. In my opinion, there is only one gold medal. There is no place for second. Period. Okay? Thought leadership. Why else does it matter? You'll sell more. You'll renew more. Your rates will increase. All of those good things. Okay? And more importantly, you'll gain more mind share and more market share.
Right, ultimately, when you talk about thought leadership, are you referring specifically to the publication or to the individuals involved in the publication?
Great point. It's on both levels. It's like the double word in Scrabble. So if your question is, who can deploy thought leadership? Okay, the president, owner, or CEO can deploy it strategically with their publication, and then as individuals, each of you that are participating in our program today can also model thought leadership, okay? So, for example, it might be I'll just give a quick example to that. It might be an industry trade show where all your best advertisers and clients and prospects are, and the publication may have gained the exclusive, to be the exclusive publication there, okay? That's an example of the publication positioning, that they're the exclusive publication, and oh, by the way, wink, wink, there'll be no other publications there, and they're not even invited to attend the trade show. You get where I'm going? Okay, that's an exclusive on the publication side. But then when I roll out and take a look at who's speaking, the keynote presenters, it might be an individual speaking on a particular topic about advertising, marketing, social media, whatever it might be, that would be appropriate for that audience.
Right, okay.
Okay? So that's the piece. Now, we do have some questions I'm going to work and weave in here related to point number one. So Mark in Maine asks, how do you use thought leadership positioning without lecturing? Mark, the response is always educational, always informational. And there's a kind of an art and a science to the way that you give presentations, that you give it very content-rich, but you also want that audience to come back to you. I'll explain that in the second part of our program, okay? But the key piece is that it's content-rich, but they come back to you because you're going to mention a white paper, you're going to mention research, you're going to mention statistical data, you're going to mention surveys, whatever that might be, okay? So all of those things relate. Mark, if that you have a follow-through question, I'm happy to address that. We also had one from Amber. Amber's in Texas. This is great. This is perfect. How do we lead, in a time of turmoil? Honestly, Amber, thought leadership is perfectly fit for turmoil. These are the times to be a leader, to be the most visible in your sector, in your industry, in the work that you're doing with your ideal audience and readers. And quite frankly, even in good times, it's always been there. We've wanted to do that, but in these tougher times in the last 2-3 years going back, boy, oh boy, it's an absolute must. It's a must that we have this in place. Bobby in Oregon asks, what's the cost of implementing a thought leadership program? I would answer that with another question. What's the cost of not implementing it, which is not good? But what does it take? It takes time and focus, and you can pick and choose the resources when we get to the second part of our program. Another quick one here, Jed Kelly asks us from New Jersey, what can you say to prospects and advertisers to give them the perception that you are the leader in the industry? And Kelly, I will say to you that being a thought leader is not about the sizzle, it's about the steak. You've got to deliver on the promises and the strategies that we talk about today, and you can pick and choose the strategies you want. In my opinion, the more that you use the better you'll succeed. I have used and my clients have used all of these strategies. Okay? So I'm hoping that that is helpful. And this was my favorite, Jed, and then we'll pause and go to the second part of our call, from Tyler in Utah, who says, how do we make sure to take advantage of thought leadership that our so that our publication has no direct competitors at the end of 2011? No competitors. Tyler, I think we'll rename today's program called Tyler Wants No Competitors, because it's the same title as publication thought leadership. If you do the thought leadership, you eliminate competitors, okay? So, and just a side note to that, you also decrease employee turnover when you're a thought leader because you're doing so well, and you increase it on the other side with your competitors. Okay, they turn over more people, which starts the wheel, and then those relationships are lost and so forth. So, Jed, that was sort of a lot, the big, sort of the highest level. About thought leadership, what is it, why does it matter? Any thoughts and observations or comments that you have related to this or maybe questions?
No, I mean, I think my only comment would be that, you know, along the lines of what we started out talking about, you know, this type of, you know, as publications sort of reach out and look for more and different ways of dispersing the information that they create, you know, dispersing their content through other mediums, you know, this becomes even more important. You know, it becomes less about the actual physical publication and more about the, you know, your place in the grand scheme of things.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, think about a publication, a website, an e-newsletter. I mean, think about the brand. You know, if I say Sports Illustrated, if I say Cruising World, if I say Hot Rods, I mean, every one of those, if I say Auto Trader, you could almost see the front cover.
Right.
Almost see it. You already know what's coming. National Geographic. Oh my gosh! Right. I mean, whatever you know. And again, whether it's website, newsletter, print publication, or all of the above, it's all branded, and you get a feel and a flavor as you go in, and you know what you're going to get. When I say Wall Street Journal, you're not thinking dessert, but you're going, wow, yeah, a lot of meat, a lot of content. Clear the decks. Let me get in there and read what I'm going to read, and you know, digest what I want. You know what
sure.
I'm saying?
Right.
Okay. So let's shift gears if we could, because let's get really to the meat of what thought leadership is about. Okay. So what are the second point we promised to cover, and again, we'll field any questions that you'd like. You can hear that we're already weaving some of these in, that are some that came in before the program, some that are coming in real time. Pop a quick email to ernest@powerhour.com or just hit reply. We'll tuck them in. We'll work them in. Even after the call, we'll do that, okay? But let's dive back in here. We're hoping that you're able to capture lots of notes because this is going to be the very meatiest part of it. For the purpose of point number two, what are the key points to position your publication and website as thought leaders with your advertisers, prospective advertisers, and the readers of your website? The readers of your publication and those who visit your website. So you have to think sort of two or three dimensionally. Okay, you've got your print publication, your e-newsletter, and you've got your website. You've got that percolating. You've got the readers. Okay, that you're trying to engage and how you're going to be a thought leader with them. And then on the other side, you've got your advertisers and prospects. Okay? So this is a very comprehensive way that we want to position ourselves. Okay? And I'm going to work today around B2B examples, but I want all of you to know B2B, obviously, business to business, but for those of you that have a B2C, business to consumer, there are companion strategies as well. Okay? Some apply and then some have to be a little different. For example, if it's B2C, you're out on Facebook, and if you're B2B, you're in LinkedIn. Subtle differences related to that. But they're very scalable and they work both ways, okay? So let's talk about working with advertisers, prospective advertisers. One of the absolute first things to do is to join their industry associations. Now, for some of you, you might go, oh, ho-hum, been there, done that. Is that all you got, Ernest? Jed, is that it? Does that conclude today's program? No, I promise. Don't go racing for the door yet. Popcorn gets better. But for some of you, you might pause and go, huh, which association? Okay, for some of you that are like general advertising publications or business publications, newspapers, more general interests, you have to think about the sectors where you make most of your money. So, for example, if it's automotive, go find their association. We're talking more than the Chamber of Commerce is what Jed and I want you to know. You know, if it's the real estate sector, go find the Board of Realtors. Okay? For some of you, high five, been there, done that, beautiful. You're in good shape. But there's more. Okay? Popcorn gets better as we go forward. Think about leveraging. okay? Leveraging associations. So one of the ways to leverage is to speak. See, to be a member of an association, okay, if we, Jed, if you and I are in a room of 500 people and we have 500 business cards and we have 15 minutes or 30 minutes to go pass those out, we're going to be in a sweat. We're going to work so hard, right? But if we stop and we're given the mic and we have 15 minutes or 30 minutes and we're going to talk to that group of 500, number one, wow, you must be somebody because the association says you're up on the stage and we can talk to everybody at one time. So if you ever want to think about being a thought leader or being positioned with your publication as thought leaders, you want the mic. You don't want to be running around with business cards. You want to make an impact. You want to make a difference. Thought leadership begins here. It's one piece. For those of you that are comfortable on your feet, beautiful. If you're not, find Toastmasters. 1988, I started in La Jolla, California. I was there sitting around with a bunch of professional speakers, guys that were making and ladies that were making $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 a day. I could only imagine what that life was like. Wow, they're living on planes and they're making big bucks. Well, it was phenomenal. Here I am today, 23 years later. It's how I earn my living. It's what I do. Put my shoes on, go to work, speak, share, communicate. Okay, next piece, thought leadership. Now, again, this can come from you as the individual or strategically from the publication. So on a publication side where you have a marketing director or a social media expert or a VP of communications, depending on the size and strength of your organization, we can write. Now, what I mean by write is, and I don't mean the editorial that goes in your publication, I mean we can write thought leadership pieces about something we see. Now, here's the reason why. This is key, okay? The reason why you are so perfectly positioned to be a thought leader is because you're like a hummingbird. And you go from flower to flower to flower. You might be in an RV, for example, sector, and there are people you're going to speak with that have been in the RV sector for 20 years. But you have the advantage. You're going to talk to 220 RV dealers. You're going to see the best practices of 140 RV sales companies. You're going to see, 76 suppliers to RV companies. The point is you get the bird's eye view. It's the hummingbird view. It's the reason that you're able to be a thought leader. So if you're going to write an article about best practices amongst RV dealers, who better to do it than you and your company and your publication? So if you'll guide and teach and coach and train, in this case, write for those association publications, who picks up those publications or who reads the association e-newsletter? Or who goes to the association website? People who are your advertiser, your clients, or your prospective clients. Jed, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's something that that oftentimes sort of distinguishes someone who's really good at selling, right, and someone who isn't, is that they sort of take the time and effort to really make sure that they know about the industry and are interested in the industry. It just sort of goes hand in hand.
Absolutely. And Jed, sort of drinking my own Kool-Aid, when I started my company 16 years ago, I started in Southern California, and there was an association there, and I began to write for them. And then I was like, that's interesting. That went out to 1,500 members. That's good for business. And it was. I started getting clients. And I said, gosh, I'm writing for Orange County. How about L.A.? I'll do that, too. How about San Diego? I'll do that, too. 3-4 months later, I'm getting the hang of this, and I'm going, how many associations are there out there? 220. How many do I write for today? 210.
Is that right? Wow.
5 million readers. This month is my 181st column. 5 million readers. Okay? I'm not just talking thought leadership. I want everybody to know who's listening to our program today that you have to drink your own Kool-Aid. You've got to go do it yourself. I have every single article I've ever written. And they literally save a space, 2 or 3 pages for me, depending on how many columns, Jed.
Right.
Two or three pages of advertising. What do you think that would cost me every month for 16 years?
Right. Yeah.
Okay? In some publications, my stuff doesn't even go to the editorial staff. It goes straight to the printer, and they have a space held for the coach. Okay? Whatever I want to write, I have a blank sheet of paper, and it's auto-blessed. Okay? So, write. write for their newsletters, write for their publications, write for their e-newsletters, write for their blogs, writing. If it's at your gift and skill as an individual, you write about things that are interesting for your clients and prospects using your hummingbird point of view. Hummingbird. I need to write that down because that's like space and place. Hummingbird point of view. I love that. I've said those words a few times over the years, Jed, but I hadn't thought about that. Here's another one. Form an alliance. Publications, again, you have that hummingbird point of view. You can stitch together vendors who are in that space, vendors who belong to that association because you're a publication, and you can stay on the pulse of what? Emerging trends, competitors, companies that are coming and going, people that are companies that are not paying bills. All of those things come from lead sharing groups. We've done entire calls on just lead sharing groups. They're up at the Media Bids site, and you can take a look at those as a follow-up, okay? But lead sharing groups allow you to stay current and fluid. I was speaking with a woman by the name of Charity today, and she said, oh, yes, did you hear the news about Judy? I said, yep, in two keystrokes. News travels lightning fast. I knew exactly the Judy she was referring to and exactly what had happened to Judy. Okay, here's another piece talking about associations. Join their board of directors. Oh, my gosh. As a publication, once again, you're already a thought leader. You're out doing the hummingbird piece. You know everybody. They positively want you on their board. You know why it's not they want you on their board? Because they want free advertising for their events. Okay? Or they want extra promotional things, or they want printing services, or they want social media, or they want visibility at your website, or they want to be in your e-newsletter. The association does. That's why you have the prime opportunity to be the ultimate thought leader. You, to Jed's point, you as a publication, or you as an individual, or ideally both strategies. For example, you could have a team where you have one person who's on the board, one person who handles the written communication, one person who's the speaker at the upcoming events, one person who works with the lead sharing group. So depending on the size of your organization, okay, you can dole out these responsibilities. Okay. Also related to associations, you can join the key committees. The key committees and associations, they generally have a fundraising one in the course of a year. They generally have a golf one. They generally have an award or black tie one. All of those are fabulous opportunities. Okay, fabulous opportunities to be able to navigate and be there with the movers and shakers. Here's a little hint about committees. Okay, you want to absolutely choose the committees where your largest clients or prospective clients are involved. Okay, very important opportunity in order to be able to select exactly the committees that you're looking for. Another one we mentioned earlier, Jed, we were talking about trade shows, okay? Trade shows are beautiful. Jed, I have to believe we've been on the floor of one or two or three trade shows, right?
Yep. Many times.
Many times, okay? We know that trade shows have what? Speaking opportunities, display opportunities. We know that they often have what? Publications. In many cases, those are prime advertising sources, okay? For those of you that have worked with me over the years, you know my feeling on this. Get your hands on that program. Become the sole source for that program. Do some revenue sharing for that program and remove your competitors. Move out of space and place and absolutely take control of your marketplace. That's what this trade show piece is all about. Okay? I love event publications. Jed, do you have any examples of event publications you've either picked up or publications that you know that sort of really focus on events?
I mean, sure. I mean, every event has them. I went to a fishing show just a couple weeks ago in Rockland County, New York, and there was an event publication that was produced by, it looked like, by the local newspaper. I think it's really if there's any civic centers or armories or convention halls, in your area, then they're having events, and it's pretty easy to try to figure out which ones are relevant for your advertising efforts.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, things like those shows, gosh, those show organizers are always, I worked with a client years and years ago up in Northern California, one of my first clients, and they did this incredible Hot Rod magazine, and all they did was go from event to event to event. And they one day said to me, Ernest, you know, we're struggling with our sales presentation. You know, it's perceived that we're going from the hot rod show to hot rod show, but we don't have enough rack distribution. We don't have enough national circ on the paid side, blah, 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 you know? And I said, wow. I said, do you realize you actually have a very active select audience? Yours is far better. Let's go through the example for a second. I told my Cruising World story. Here I sit, you know, in the mountains of Park City reading Cruising World, you know, 6,000 miles from the nearest, you know, pond of water, and for $11 a year it comes delivered to me. Okay? That's very passive. Now think about the hot rod audience. They go for entire weekends. They would go to Sacramento on a Friday, spend all day Saturday, all day Sunday, hotel rooms, travel, meals, entry fees, bringing their cars, trucking in their cars, you know, bringing these beautiful, tricked-out hot rods from the 50s and 60s gen. That's the audience that was picking up this automotive publication.
Right.
Who cares more about those ads? Me, sitting in 12 feet of snow, looking at Cruising World? Never bought anything out of the magazine. I've been getting it for two decades. Okay? Or Mary and Mark Smith, who traveled 600 miles to come to that Sacramento show and probably spent $3,000 or $4,000 that weekend to be there and to cover all their expenses. Who's more active?
Sure. The person who's traveling.
Right?
Committed to the... Right.
You bet. And in those days, my client, I said, listen, not only are you at these shows, but I want you to completely dominate the shows. I want you to not only be the program guide, I want you to do all their promotion, I want them in your event calendar. Once we made that shift, from that day forward, we never looked back. Business flourished. Business grew by double, triple digits, and he went on to sell it for a boatload of cash, never again had to work another day in his life. Okay? Retired at the gentle age of 42 years old. Okay, so that's what thought leadership is. Let's continue. Other examples. Another one of my absolute favorite in the wonderful world of Mr. Andrew. You know who you are, Mr. Beryl Chest. Love you big like a brother. Andrew, Executive Roundtables. That was his deal. He said, hey, listen, you know, we're kind of grooving along, but I really want to get my decision makers in a meeting. I said, Andrew, how do you want to do? He says, I'm going to sponsor a lunch. Okay, great. And then what are you going to do? I'm going to bring really top shelf speakers to the lunch, and I'm going to have them speak. I'm going to have them speak on topics that are really relevant. It might be this one, or that one. I said, you think they'll speak? He says, absolutely. I'll buy them lunch, and I'll give them a little Nordstrom gift certificate. What do you think? I said, that's great, but we got some costs involved in this lunch. He goes, no, I got a good idea. Remember our lead sharing group and our vendor alliance? I got 3-4 of them. One per category, no competitors. They all want to be there. I'll set them up in the back of the room. They'll have a little something. They don't get any commercial space because the speaker's there. We'll serve a little lunch. We'll have the speaker, and then we can do a little networking. What do you think? It'll cost nothing. I said, Andrew, that's thought leadership. Andrew and I had that conversation in 1990, 20 years ago, Jed. It still survives today. Those roundtables still exist today. Those leaders still come together, all brought together by the hummingbird approach of what? A publication. Executive roundtables, easy to do, easy to get sponsors. But you got to be creative. This is another one of those tasks that you can assign somebody to do. We assigned a high-level person to work on the speaker, get all the invitations. Then we hired an administrative operational person to handle all the nuts and bolts of the registrations, the reminders, some of the marketing. Then we had our salespeople by email and in person sharing invitations. Okay. It got so big, Jed, that we had people trying to crash it. Hey, I didn't get an invitation, but I just wanted to show up. hey, I know it's only for, you know, C-level, but I'm like a VP. Will you please let me in? I felt like we were, you know, security holding people back from a Mick Jagger concert or something, Jed. You know, it was a lot of fun. And then taking this down another notch. Okay, this is a C-level executive roundtable. Taking that a little notch. Think about sales and marketing training that you might do for those that are in the middle tier of your client range. You have to think about, you know, your audience. Okay, who's in the middle? All right, and what sales and marketing? What gives you the ability to give sales and marketing training? You know what does? The hummingbird. You're seeing the best practices. You know what works and you know what doesn't. you know what creates success in your category. In one of my categories, I know that if a prospect calls, you have to respond in 60 minutes or less, ideally 30. I created the 33-point best practices in the world script that have to be used. I created the tools in that 33-point that need to be utilized by my clients. I'm a thought leader in that sector. I'm still drinking my own Kool-Aid. You have to think about that as well. How well do you actually know your categories? How well do you know your clients and prospects?
All right, well, let me ask you this.
Please.
Because I like to think I can hear people thinking on the phone.
Let her roll.
What happens if you're a publication and you know, you want to be a thought leader, you want to be, you know, involved more in the businesses that are advertising with you, mm-hmm. and understand them better and you know, and take that kind of leadership role, but what if the people you're dealing with at those businesses just aren't that engaged? If they're, you know, if the person's job is to, you know, place an ad with you once a month or once a week or something, if that person, you know, could care less whether they're selling, you know, RVs or swimming pools or, you know, or real estate. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you, you know, is it just a function of sort of finding the right person at the company to engage with, or are there ways around that?
Sure. I mean, you know, just to clarify, we are positively, absolutely looking for any program like this. We're looking for the owners and the presidents, okay? I mean, we're looking for the very, very top, maybe the VP level. You know, you always want to play as high as you can. Let's just step back for just a second. In the world of selling and sales, the higher you go in a company, you know, if you reach up to the president, you know, of a company to talk about advertising, and they end up moving you over to to VP or their marketing or their social media, whatever that person is, at the very least, you know that Larry Brown or Sarah Smith made their referral, and you can lean on that.
Right.
So the selling strategy is always to play as high as possible. If you try to come in the middle or the bottom, man, you're going to be the tail of the dog in any sales capacity. Set aside publications, selling anything, anywhere, anytime. You've got to get to the very highest level and then let them introduce you down. Okay, so now you're going into a meeting with, you know, the VP of marketing, and you could say, yep, I had a fabulous conversation with Larry, your president, or Sarah, you know, your CEO, and Sarah says that you're really the best person to work with, and she's very excited about our publication. She's really excited about our upcoming roundtables. Oh, by the way, you know, we have this wonderful panel we want to invite her on. Oh, by the way, did I mention that Sarah really wants you to advertise with me in my publication? Okay, when you can wrap yourself in the flag, Sarah's flag, it just gets very, very easy. Okay? Does that answer your question, though?
Yeah, it does. And I think the thing that's probably also nice about thought leadership is it gives you another reason to engage with people at the company, right? So it's not you're not just always having a conversation about your publication and advertising, you know, spending money with you, right? You now have another door that's open, and you know, and that door may, you know, hopefully lead to more business, but it also is the advertiser's getting something out of it.
Absolutely. In fact, we opened up with Space and Place, then we migrated to the Hummingbird, right, point of view. The next part, just off what you said, misdirected selling. That's what I call that term, misdirected selling. Hi, it's Ernest, and yes, I'm with ABC Publication. Gosh, I'm calling you because we've got this upcoming trade show. I know that you're going to be one of the key sponsors. Oh, my gosh, I'm calling. Also, we've got this executive roundtable I want to invite you to. Hey, I'm also calling. We're writing an article for the association publication. I want a quote from you. And the person's going, wow, I thought you were Ernest with ABC Publication. No, we got all these other things grooving along. Oh, by the way, now that all that's done, hey, let's settle in. Yeah, I would like to talk to you about also some advertising and marketing. But that's 20, 30 minutes. That's an hour later. Okay? Misdirected selling means that we don't have to call and say, hi, it's Ernest, want some space, want some place. Pitiful. Pitiful. There's no way I'm driving revenue from that. And for those of you that are selling like that, you know, sort of spray and pray and dial and hope to get, you know, drive, that is no fun. The first time we launched an executive roundtable in 1990, it was like everybody was going nuts. I've got a reason to call this one. I can call that one. This one returned my phone call. This one wants to know if they can bring two people. It was like, oh, my God. It was like champagne corks flying. We learned there were better ways to sell. Instead of trying to barge our way, Jed, through the front door, we coach our clients today how do we come tiptoeing in the back door, skip into the windows. You still get the same net result. Once you're in their house, once you're in the organization, guess what? Then good things happen, and then you can go do the things that you're looking for, namely driving revenue on your publication side. You get the same net result, but you get there with a little more grace, selling with a feather rather than selling with a hammer. Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, very good. Great question. Let's cover a couple of more points here then. A couple other pieces. Do conference calls like we're doing here. Think about your audience. If your audience is not geographically local where you can bring them together, run conference calls like this. Jed and myself have been doing these for years and years and years. Myself, I go back 16 years ago doing calls just like this. So if you've got people that are in geographical areas, invite them to a conference call and invite them to participate. Invite them into your LinkedIn group, some that have actually registered for this call. Know what I'm talking about. You have your own groups. Go to LinkedIn. This is a business-to-business example. If I was business-to-consumer, I might touch on LinkedIn, but I'd probably do more on the Facebook side. Okay, so LinkedIn. And remember, you can own groups and post to groups. We were working with a publishing group in the Southeast last week. We were working on the recruiting side of the house, and based on the LinkedIn strategies, they were trying to find really strong people, really well compensated, and it was like, yeah, we do all of our research and posting on Craigslist. I'm going, Craigslist? What kind of people are you finding that you want to pay $100,000 or $200,000 a year? We showed them how to come into LinkedIn. We showed them how to maximize that. They go out now across 1.4 million publication professionals. And now the challenge is, holy smokes, we've got too many people, and in many cases, they're too qualified. What a fabulous problem, Jed, to have. You know what I'm saying? So LinkedIn. LinkedIn is another piece, okay? So the bottom line is all of these strategies also apply without going any deeper into the reader side. All of these pieces start all over again on the reader side. Now you have to think about where your readers are, how to reach them, how to position them. You might do reader surveys. You might do reader focus groups. You might do reader conference calls just like this. So each of the strategies, you might have LinkedIn groups that you tie in advertisers and prospects and others that tie in the readers themselves. So recognize that the readers have their own strategy. It's just a mirror image of what we're talking about here. So for those, and Jed, I'm waiting for you to say, Ernest, I can hear the group. They're saying, which do you do first? For me, focus on the advertisers. Okay, focus on the advertisers. Focus on the revenue first, but please do not lose track of your readers, because ultimately, to be the ultimate thought leader, then you positively absolutely want both passes, both channels. Jed, a comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, what I was going to say is that in many respects, the most valuable information that you can probably provide to advertisers, the greatest value of thought leadership is probably the information that you get from your readers, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's a sample group that they don't have access to.
Correct.
Nearly the same way that you do. So, to the extent that you can communicate with both ends, you really become the point in the middle, right? That's providing valuable information both ways.
I think the strategy, the visual might be eating from both sides of the hot dog. We'll brand that as a bumper sticker, okay? But you are right, Jed. You are absolutely right. It's a great visual because you do. Once again, the hummingbird strategy says, wow, that publication wants me? They want my point of view? I was talking to a buddy of mine, Mark Eaton, 7'4", played for the Jazz, right? We're yapping the other day. He says, yeah, Sports Illustrated's coming out to interview me. I said, why? He says, well, because they want to interview guys that are sort of over 7 feet tall and what the impact, not if sports was on your life, but what the impact was of being so tall. Everywhere you go, Ernest, people stop me, look at me, want autographs, recognize me. In some cases, gawk. He says, you got to get comfortable with that. And they're interviewing four of us, spending a day in the life of Mark Eaton and three others. He didn't rattle off who they were, and talking about that. So, the point being that it was impressive that a publication would reach out, and that's how your readers will feel as well. So in terms of thought leadership, your readers have their own strategy that mirror similar to this, but then are a little bit different. So think about that along the way. Let's weave in some questions if we could here, and then we'll wrap things up, and then we'll talk about how to open up the call here. So Bobby in Oregon asks, what's the best way to engage your readers more in a digital readership marketplace? Bobby, you'll hear me talk about, over the years, if you want more of a digital footprint, you have to have an e-newsletter to connect your readers with your website. If you don't have that in place, it is very, very tough to bring people back to your website, nearly impossible, and that's not a good strategy. We also had a question from Maria. Maria's in California. What are some of the factors considered when you produce quality, thought-provoking promotional materials? Maria, I love that. I am a major believer of give and give high quality. I'm a major believer in play it forward, okay? Do the things, create the things that, A, make you proud of yourself, B, would be interesting for you to read, C, in the case of promotional materials that go out to your clients and prospects, always provide information, but save some of the bullets for you. Save some of the mojo for you. So if you say, hey, listen, I'd love to, here's a promotional piece and here's the educational program. Listen, at the end of the program, we've got a white paper about our sector that's going to talk about this, 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 and that. Come to the program. We'll give it there. Always invite people to things in your promotional materials, but always encourage them to ask for or request other components. Okay? And Maria, I love that piece, and we probably, Jed, could do an entire call about the value of highly education materials, not normally the sales 101 stuff. You know what I'm saying?
But along those lines, yeah. Something as simple as, having, dispersing an interesting article about an industry that your advertiser is in, it goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. I've seen great promo. I've seen even in the smallest thing, just nice frames of here's your ad or here's your article, here's your editorial, all kinds of ways to parlay that. So let's go. Let's go into the third part of our call. Then we'll pause and we'll talk about how to informally open this up and field any additional questions. But point number three, we said that we would cover how does publication thought leadership help you in your publication drive more revenue, renew more ads? How does it add more value to the net worth of your publication on the day you're ready to sell it? Okay? So, number one, thought leadership. We're sort of drinking from our own Kool-Aid, right? If we're supposed to go out to our advertisers and say, it's a smart thing to advertise your business, buy space and place with me, then if we're drinking from the same cup, wouldn't we be saying we should be doing the same with our publication? Thought leadership, if you really boil it down, is our marketing and advertising plan. Okay? So if we're not doing it, and yet we're outselling the benefits of advertising and marketing, we're sort of undermining our own message. Okay? So we're talking with all of you here today in the marketing and the media and the information that you'll see from media bids, the newsletters, invitations and calls like this, the value of the information that they have, the wealth of resources at their website, they're doing that continuously. And on the Power Hour side, the speaking, the writing, the newsletters, all of those things, LinkedIn, all of those things we do as well. Every single piece of what we're talking about here today, Power Hour and my organization, Jed and MediaBids and their organization is doing. And as publishing companies and publishing leaders and professionals, you have to be and want to be doing the same thing. Okay? So you get more visibility, which equals more revenue and more new ads. It also means, and there was a question just related to this. Let's see if I can quickly find this. Who asked that question? This was a great one. What are the key points and ways to position your publication and website for events or new ideas and new platforms? So Jed, one of the beautiful parts when you're a thought leader, you can roll things out faster, you can get acceptance faster. You can drive new products, new services through your pipe. Once you've got all these things in place and you sort of have your advertisers and prospective advertisers drinking from your Kool-Aid, buying into what you've got, can see your thought leadership, it makes it so much easier to roll out new products and new services and extensions of your publication. Does that make sense, Jed, as I'm sort of clarifying that point?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, and the difference is, right, that you're able to learn more about what the needs of your advertisers really are
because your conversations with him were extended beyond just the buy and sell transaction.
Right.
You're talking to them more about what it is they do and why they do it and what's going on, with their business.
Yep.
And as we've mentioned on other calls, there's nothing that makes people happier than talking about what it is they do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I was speaking with a publishing group in Toronto yesterday, Jed, and we settled in. We spent almost an hour together. They had an interest in some of our search engine work and some of our optimization, some of our LinkedIn things. But we were talking about trends that had been posted on a LinkedIn discussion. We were talking about competitive analysis. We were talking about an upcoming conference. We were talking about social media. And the key word that I heard you say is it extends the conversation.
Right.
Extends the conversation. Yeah, they came because they want, there was some specific training and coaching and guidance that they want, and we're going to begin working with their group. But honestly, the first 48 minutes was nothing but sector news, hummingbird news, where are things at, who's doing what are the trends, and then we settled in and went from there. Okay. Another piece related to thought leadership, stronger renewals. Okay. We all know that a sale is made a whole lot easier than a renewal. A renewal is I'm going to continue to renew. The results are in. I'm evaluating the performance of your website, your e-newsletter, your print publication, all the things you got going on. Renewals are two or three times tougher. It really helps to have all of that credibility behind you. Very, very important piece. Also, thought leadership creates more value, meaning it grows and expands your career as an individual, as a leader. It increases your compensation. It increases your worth to the publication, which means potentially more promotional growth or more opportunity. Okay, but it also, for those of you that are here who own your publication or are the presidents or have stock options and so forth, it also adds more value when you go to sell your publication. Okay, so you add more value on the other side, which is absolutely key. Remember that all of this ties in. Everything we've talked about, and we've done entire programs over the years that tie into weaving it all together. How do you weave in your publication, your website, your e-newsletter? How do you tie in your readers, your advertisers, your prospects? Okay? So everything we're talking about here is like a burlap bag. You've got to stitch all the pieces together. A single string by itself won't hold anything. And a burlap bag only halfway together will unravel quickly. But when you get it all stitched together, it'll hold as much as you could possibly imagine. So all the strategies here are only as good as you deploy them, okay, and they keep the plate spinning. Keep people, have someone assigned to the round table, someone assigned to key committees at your association. One person might handle your LinkedIn and be the moderator there. All of these pieces, do not feel you're coming off this call and Jed and myself are asking you to drink from the ocean, okay? Start with a straw, then a garden hose, then a fire hydrant. It'll work. Promise you, by the time you get the fire hydrant, that water will be pummeling your competitors, and you'll be smiling from the revenue, the renewals, the market share, and so forth that you get from it. Remember as well, we started early, just as we wrap up. You're going to also be able to increase your rates, increase your rate card, and reduce employee turnover. Team members are happier when they're working for the leading publication. I've been reading Outside Magazine for 20 years. I think if they'd offer me a job in New Mexico, I'd throw it all up and I'd go out to New Mexico and go sell for Outside Magazine. I think that they're the bomb. Okay, and I'm just a reader. That's how cool I think their magazine is and what a great job they do. And I'm sure we all have our own favorites along the way. So recognize that a brand is conveyed to readers. And when it's conveyed to readers, it's conveyed to advertisers, and advertisers get it because you've got active readers. Okay? Jed, additional thoughts about this piece related to the value and what it brings?
I think that there are, you've made some great suggestions. I think that as people get into it, there are probably many, many little nuances to it that make sense in a specific geographic area or in a specific industry. Some publications probably do some of these things to some extent now and probably maybe just don't capitalize on them enough. Don't sort of put themselves out there enough as the thought leader that they really already are. But I think that, once you start thinking this way, it opens up a lot of opportunities.
Jed, you're absolutely right that there are a lot of nuances. And there's a step-by-step plan and approach to thought leadership, and all of the things you've heard from Jed and myself today and the fielding of the questions are all part of the strategies that we help our clients win. Related to that, we only work with one publication in a geographical area or one in a category or sector. Why? Because these are so powerful, so potent, that we could never, ever leave our signature or share the magic of all these strategies with competing companies in the same marketplace or the same space. So over all the years we've ever worked, we've never, ever worked with a competing publication that's side by side. We put them on a waiting list. And we do that because these strategies are powerful and our clients are winning, even in these tough economic times. Okay? So again, this is Ernest with Power Hour. It's been an absolute pleasure being here. This is our 49th time that Jed and myself have come together and have been able to share with you insight and ideas and strategies that are intended to help you win. I'm going to have Jed say some closing words here and want to always, as always, express my appreciation for all the work of he and his team behind the scenes. They are wonderful. Get to know them. Go to the MediaBids website. Learn what they're doing. Find ways that they can help you drive revenue and help you fill some of that empty space that you may have in your publication. In just a couple of minutes, too, we'll talk about how we're going to informally open this up, and we'll field your questions maybe for 5 or 10 minutes afterward if you'd like to ask some of those questions more informally. So, Jed, how about some closing words for the group here? And
thanks, everyone, for attending, and thanks, Ernest, for sharing your ideas on this. I mean, like a lot of these, I think that these teleseminars are sort of the tip of the iceberg of what you know and what you help your clients achieve. So it's fun to kind of get a glimpse at it. So thanks again for everyone for joining us.
Thank you so much. And remember, you owe me a Florida picture. I owe you a picture of me sitting on a 40-foot ski cliff. I was jumping off with a couple of clients a couple of days ago, so I owe you, you owe me, and we'll have fun. Because I know the Alaska ones are coming. Don't get me started there, okay? Seriously, it's always a pleasure, Jed. Thank you so much to all of you. We're going to formally wrap up our program. This is the MediaBids Power Hour. You've been listening to Jed and Ernest together here today. Thank you so much for coming here and investing this hour with us here today. Give me just a second, Jed.
Sure. Ernest is stopping the recording.